Greg Pogue, John Burton Show on a Monday. Glad you are with us. John Burton, Patton Cook holding it down in the Strike and Spare studios. Greg out today. He won't be with us tomorrow either. He's in Atlanta for games 3 and 4 of the NLDS, Brewers and Braves. Game 3 comes up this afternoon, 12:07, first pitch, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. And, of course, Game 4 coming up tomorrow. But coming up right now, the Queen. She joins us every Monday at this time. The Hall of Fame sports writer from the Associated Press, the great Teresa Walker. Teresa, when Vrabel came out for his post-game press conference yesterday, I think he had mixed emotions. He was bummed that you weren't there, but I'm sure he's glad that Kaharski missed his flight and he didn't get to cover the game yesterday.
Well, yeah, I did notice that. I actually, because of the, Vandy being out of town, Titans being out of town, I took advantage of that to have a weekend with some girlfriends and a birthday party celebration. So yesterday when the, before kickoff, I was watching Falcons and Jets from London with a Bloody Mary in hand.
That's you.
I started with, the Titans game with my second Bloody Mary. So, no offense to Mike, but I was much happier yesterday. But we do know the Titans, and Mike Vrabel has to be happy because, with as injured as this roster is, JB, they got to win. And, now the key will be, with this extra week or extra day this week with the Monday night game against the Bills, do they get a couple more guys back? They activated Marcus Johnson from Saturday. But Bud Dupree, who'd been questionable, they declared out on Saturday. There's another week after practicing this past week. Does that get him on the field when, you watch last night's game? It'd sure be nice to have Bud Dupree on the other side of Harold Landry, right?
Yep.
But he's got to dread talking to, Todd Torricelli, the trainer, and meeting with everybody to go over injuries, because what used to be a 5-minute conversation it feels like it's probably taken half the day because of all the guys on IR and on the injury report. So, I think it was on Friday they were up to 24 or 23. and then they put 4 more guys on IR on Saturday. They bring one off. So, it's like I've been trying to keep track of the numbers and it's tough. This is a banged up roster. So to go into Jacksonville and come out with a win and be 3-2, you've got to feel very happy. Think about this. Close to 40%, 40, not just 40%, but 40 players on this team are banged up in some fashion or another, either on the injury report or on IR, just come off IR. And the roster's 53, and with the 16-man practice squad, it's 69. So that's painful.
Yes.
So, being 3-2, JB, they should be pretty happy over there. Now, the problem is, what the injury report brings today, if anyone else gets added to it. So,
Fulton went out with a hamstring, and so,
Exactly. So, I'm very curious to see where this team is health-wise, because, remember last year they were their first game after the COVID outbreak. The schedule had been so crazy. A Tuesday night game, first Tuesday night game since, 1946?
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills are going to come in here as loaded for Titan as they went into KC last night looking for Chiefs.
Exactly. Teresa Walker is our guest. You're right. And listen, you're right. The Titans got the win, and kudos to them for getting off the mat after that tough overtime loss to what is looking to be a really bad Jets team. I give him credit for that, but if Trevor Lawrence's touchdown is held up or they score on that fourth down, it's a one-score game, a game you were dominating with still 10 minutes and 38 seconds left to play in the fourth quarter. Should there be any concern about that?
Oh, absolutely. The 3-and-outs, too many, just way too many. And, they've been coming at crucial times when they could be putting away games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the play chart here. They had one to start the fourth quarter. Five-play drive ended in a punt. In the third quarter, they had, 7 plays that netted 7 yards, punt. So while things were looking good, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, then it went punt, 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 and then that final touchdown, you can't do that if you're, to be a good team And we, that's what these Titans came into the season, not just fully expecting to be a good team, to potentially play their way into the conversation of being one of the best teams in the AFC. Best teams don't do that. You do what the Buffalo Bills did a week ago to the Houston Texans, 40-0.
Yep.
You put your foot down and you just and you do what you did to the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Chiefs are just kind of, they're straggling. They're wobbling. Their defense is struggling.
They look lost, don't they?
They do. I mean, they're giving up, more yards per play than any other defense. It's almost at a historic rate. Patrick Mahomes looks not just – he doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes. He looks like – I saw one meme that had him kind of morphing back into his Oklahoma jersey. So it's like, because – he's had more interceptions already this season through five games than he had all the last couple seasons. So, he's certainly vulnerable. The Chiefs are looking vulnerable. And, the Bills went in there. And, if you're going to knock off the King, and they've played in the AFC Championship, three straight years?
Mm-hmm.
And two Super Bowls? You don't just go in there to beat them. You go in there to kick them while they're down. And that's what the Bills did. So
yeah, the Bills looked phenomenal last night. Josh Allen is he's the real deal, isn't he?
Oh, count me as the biggest doubter last year. It's like, sorry.
Your tea's ready.
Now, that's my husband trying to call me when he knows I'm talking to you at this point, silly sailor.
It's the man you married.
Exactly. Going into last season, the biggest question about the Buffalo Bills was, what could Josh Allen do? Could he quit turning the ball over? Could he be helpful? And he took a massive step. And it seems like he not only stayed there, he has maybe taken even a step beyond last season. So, the Bills fans are going to be here on Monday night, probably all weekend, partying and breaking tables. But, they're happy. I mean, this team is looking as good as, dare I say, the Jim Kelly days.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking real good. Defense is doing great. They're leading the league in most points scored, fewest points allowed. I mean, it's kind of tough to get better than number one in both of those categories.
No question about it. Teresa Walker, you can follow her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. All right, I'm running out of things to say about Derrick Henry. I mean, he's already on pace to break Eric Dickerson's single-season record. He could become the first man to rush for back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. We got to start talking about this guy as one of the greatest running backs of all time, no?
Yes. you look at who his name is in categories with. I mean, he was doing some of this last year. And putting the pieces together. Did you see the stat that the NFL and CBS tweeted out yesterday? Most rushing yards over a 40-game stretch in NFL history. Derrick Henry's at the top, 4,792 from 2018 to now. The guy behind him in the Hall of Fame, Jim Brown. Right after him, another guy
him.
That was in the Hall
of
Fame, O.J. Simpson.
Heard of him.
After that, Terrell Davis.
Hall of Famer.
Eric Dickerson.
Hall of Famer.
He's ahead of all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody has been better over a 40-game stretch than Derrick Henry. And, the Titans have needed him, JB. I mean, if he hasn't done what he's done, especially in Seattle, yesterday, against the Colts, if he hadn't been doing what he's been doing, then they are most likely not where they need to be right now, which is at least over 500 going into this I've been calling it a murderer's row since the schedule come out, and
sure,
it certainly is. Monday night against the Bills, who are 4-1, then you got the Chiefs coming in, and it's Patrick Mahomes. He's dangerous. They're always dangerous until you can beat them again. You have to take them with every bit and try to put them down again. While they're down, you hit them and keep them down.
Yep.
Make them throw the towel.
Yep.
And then you go to the Colts. Then you go to that Sunday night against the Rams. It's amazing what they're about to go through. So, they need every man on deck. And, hopefully they get some of these pieces back over the next couple weeks, month. But Derrick Henry is the constant. And, I know that everyone's worried about the number of carries. And he finally talked to us on Thursday about some of the things that he does to help himself stay ready to play and deal with the soreness that does happen. He's human. He kind of admitted it Thursday. He's human. He, massages, cold tub, hot tub, dry needling. he's doing everything he can to help his body be ready for each Sunday. And it's funny because Ryan Tannehill and Coach Tony Dews, the running backs coach in the preseason, you know, they both were asked, and I asked Tony Dews about, you know, when you talk to Derrick Henry, does he ever admit to being sore? And they said, no, he never does. So, you know, that's what he's even sending that message. Opposing teams. He's sending that to his own teammates.
Yeah. What did Tannehill say a couple of weeks ago? He's like, he walks around like he isn't even sore. And I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, I hide it pretty well.
But here's the thing. He hides it and goes out and works. And that is the epitome of leading by example, is it not?
Yeah, when your best player is your best worker, your hardest worker. I mean, I've seen it before covering the Penguins all those years with Sidney Crosby. Same deal. Best player, hardest worker.
And that sends a message through the entire locker room. Do what you have to do to be ready on game day to go help this team win. Because the guy who, you know, could easily have the biggest ego in the building, in the city, in the state, is just doing what he has to do his job. And that message cannot be overlooked. It's what Eddie George and Steve McNair did back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's what Derrick Henry is doing. And, you know, this team is, you know, they're riding his, you know, I wouldn't say coattails, but, you know, what is it that a king wears? A cape?
Yeah, his cloak. You know, is it a cloak?
There you go. Yeah. His cloak. They're riding on the robe.
No question. Hey, switching to college ball real quick. Boy, this Tennessee offense is fun to watch, isn't it? These last two games, they put up some points and look good.
They've looked so good, and it's been fun to watch because it's been a long time for Tennessee fans to see, forget an offense, but defensively they're making plays as well. So stat from Bill Martin over at Tennessee football yesterday, this year they have scored 33 touchdowns through six games. And let's put this in comparison. Last year in 10 games, 29. In 13 games in 2019, 35. 35 in 2018 in 13 games. So I think they're going to be able to top what they've done the past four seasons, maybe with 2 minutes left in the first quarter Saturday night, the way they've been scoring in the first quarter. So it's been fun to watch. And, I tell you, I'm sure hoping that, you know, maybe some extra shipments of popcorn came in to Lane Kiffin and he can bring some of that to Knoxville on Saturday night. This is going to be fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday night. You know, the point total was set at 85.5. The big number that jumped out at me, JB, the Ole Miss is favored by four. And, you know, yes, 3 points usually at home, so, mm-hmm. you know, 7 points a touchdown. The way the Vols can score touchdowns, that's not too bad. If Tennessee's defense can play the way we've seen some signs of it, this could be a really fun game Saturday night.
Absolutely. NBA and NHL both right around the corner. What are your early thoughts on both the Preds and the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, I'm very curious to see what they do with Matias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg in their contract situation. Mm-hmm. We'll see just exactly what this competitive rebuild is. 538 had them finishing like third in the Central Division. Might be a bit optimistic, but, you know, this franchise has always seemed to do well when people don't expect much of them at all. So if UC Soros plays an entire season the way he did from mid-March on last spring, mm-hmm. then they should be in decent shape to have a chance at a postseason. Grizzlies, Western Conference in the NBA is ridiculously competitive. That said, if Jaren Jackson Jr. can be healthy an entire year and Ja Morant is giving flashes in this preseason of some of the work he put in this short offseason, he's going into his third year. He was an NBA Rookie of the Year his first season. I can't wait to see what they do over there. And they swapped out their big men. Jonas Valanciunas is now in New Orleans. Steven Adams is in Memphis now. They've got a very deep roster. And, you know, they got in the playoffs last spring. They got to see what they need to do at that time of the year. I'm very curious to see what they can do. I won't put it past them to get back in the postseason.
Fun time of year, isn't it? Oh, by the way, we got MLB playoffs going on, too. What a time to be alive. You're a sports fan or you work in sports, right, T?
Absolutely. There's nothing going on. You got. Oh, by the way, the preseason AP basketball poll, men's basketball poll, comes out a week from today.
Wow.
The women's top 25 comes out a week from Tuesday. All the sports are about to be going at full blast.
Get your rest, T. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. You're the best.
Thank you, JB.
All right, there she goes, Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, joining us every Monday at 10:25 right here in the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.